The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the Sato Karate On Air Dojo, your community karate club that has been part of the Nelson and the Top of the South for 50 years. Introducing hundreds of people to the benefits of Sato Karate through dojos located in Nelson, Stoke, Richmond, Motueka, Blenheim, and beyond. My name's Eric, and in our on-air dojo, I'll be talking with the people that have helped make it such a remarkable place to learn Sato Karate. Our very first guest this morning is Sei Shihan Aaron Barber. He is the head instructor and leader of the Nelson Sato Karate Dojo. Welcome, Sei Shihan.
Oh, Eric, nice to be here.
We'll get to understanding more about the titles that we use in karate very soon. But before we do that, I'm interested in setting the foundation for this on-air dojo and for the discussions to come. And of course, that foundation is with your father Eiko Hanchish Andy Barber, who first established Sato Karate here in Nelson and, in fact, in New Zealand. Is that right?
Yeah. Him and a gentleman named Eiko Hanchirenzi were the first ones to start Sato Karate in New Zealand by following a man named Tadashi Nakamura from our previous style, or Dad's previous style, called Kyokushin. So they wrote a letter to Kaicho, who's his name, when Kaicho decided to leave Kyokushin and started Sato, and wrote a letter to Kaicho asking if they could join Sato, which he gave them permission.
And what sort of time was that? Was that in the 70s?
So Dad moved up to Nelson around 1974,
right,
from Christchurch, and that was still practicing Kyokushin then. And then 1976, Sato Karate was founded.
Right, here in New Zealand?
Here in New Zealand.
And it started in Nelson?
It started in Nelson, yeah. Well, and Christchurch. So it's Eiko Hanchirenzi and Dad.
Yeah.
So Christchurch Shibu and Nelson Shibu.
And so how difficult was that to transition from Kyokushin to Sato Karate?
Yeah, well, I would imagine it would have been, obviously, I was 2 years old then, so I was sort of had no real knowledge of what Dad was doing, but from stories being told and accounts of older students, Kyokushin was, you know, quite a hard style back then. So the transition to Sato was probably still reasonably hard, but I think that was the beauty of Sato, and Kaicho's vision is that Sato could be practiced by everybody, not just young, tough guys. So,
Would you care to talk a little bit more about maybe the essence of Sato Karate then?
Well, the essence of Sato Karate really is based on their principles of love, obedience, and respect is what we base our style around. And I think that's what we practice. We practice those three things of love for yourself and love for others, and courtesy to your fellow karateka, and also courtesy to your neighbours, your friends, to the community, and respect as well. So if you show respect for yourself, then obviously you're going to be able to show a little bit of respect to someone else as well. And the real major thing I feel around Sato Karate is that it is available to everybody. Every man, woman and child can start Sato Karate. It doesn't matter of what ability, what age, and you can safely practice the art by still adhering to our fundamentals.
Yeah, actually, that's been my experience. So I'm a brown belt. This is now my fifth year, I think. So working up through the ranks. Yeah. And one thing that has always been, I think, made a really good impression on me is the fact that you have such a huge amount of experience, such a huge amount of knowledge, and people who stay, even at the higher grades, you know, when you might think in a martial art, you know, the idea is to go along and sort of prove yourself in a sense, last man standing or last woman standing. But that is just not the case with Sato. There's a real, what would you call that, a library, a real group of knowledge that just stays around, which I think makes Sato so special.
Yeah, well, we certainly have a lot of people that were training in Nelson Shibu and the Top of the South dojos that have been training for, you know, 40 years.
Yes, yep.
And some of those students were some of Dad's first students. So as in Sashan Stephen, who runs the Stoke Dojo, is one of Dad's first students. And yeah, that knowledge, that all those experience people, is just what continues, and we're wanting to continue the legacy that Dad set.
Mm.
And we're trying to use everybody's experience and knowledge of our beautiful art to carry on through. And nice. And as Dad would have wanted too, you know, is to improve the legacy, build on it.
Absolutely.
So that's the intention, certainly from me, and with help from all my seniors and juniors as well.
I can certainly see that. So what was it like sort of growing up under this amazing presence, I suppose, a latter-day samurai here in New Zealand?
Yeah, well, I suppose you sort of got to go back a little bit with Dad. As it's sort of been my life. So karate, you know, my mum and dad met at college in Wellington. And my grandfather, my mother's father, was at that stage training in sort of like a Chinese Kempo. So my dad got introduced to martial arts through my grandfather, and then went on to start practicing karate at Victoria University in Wellington under a guy named Bob McCullum.
Right.
So in those days, you know, karate was not really well known. So Dad tells stories of learning karate in books. And then any sort of Japanese vessel, fishing vessel or merchant vessels that come down to Wellington port, they'd go down to the port and ask anyone that thought they might know karate to try and teach them some techniques or moves. So from there, Dad's karate career took off. He went to Japan, came back, and had a showdown when he came back from training with Masayama and Kyokushin in Japan, and then eventually moved to Christchurch through his job as a book salesman. And then eventually came up to Nelson with my mum and me, and started karate here in Prairie Street. But so I think my life and living with my father, that's all I knew, you know, the karate folk. My grandfather was a major influence as a martial artist as well. So it was nothing really out of the norm.
Yeah.
It was just what we did. Dad was always in a gi. Mum was supporting. My earliest memories of my karate training really is my dad swinging me from rafters in Prairie Street under off a big rope, you know, from side to side.
Us, yeah.
So I think Dad was a loving, compassionate man, a wonderful father.
Mm.
Like, but the rules in the dojo were the rules in the dojo.
Yes.
And they didn't change.
No.
Didn't change whether you were son, you know, you were the wife, you were the daughter.
Yep.
You know, it didn't matter. Those were the rules, and that was just accepted the way it was. But outside the dojo, although he was still a firm, hard man, he also had that other side of being very compassionate. And we experienced a lot of things apart from karate together, and fishing and hunting and all those outside activities. And often they were combined karate. I remember a lot with Dad is going for runs. He used to like to run. So one of my fondest memories with Dad and running as a young teenager, well, I might even be younger than teenager, I'm not sure, run the Mai Tai track up to the end of the golf course. So we'd go for a run thinking, oh, that's nice because I quite enjoyed running as well. But, of course, at the end of the run, we had to stop and do Sanchin Kata or Tencho Kata before we ran back again. So it was always with Dad, there was always some form of element of karate within the outside, the dojo stuff. You know, whether it be doing some, you know, lifting firewood, you know, chopping firewood or something, you know, his thing, well, this would be good for you, this is good for your training, Aaron.
Yeah.
This will make you stronger. So, you know, and I think that's the attitude I've taken on to my life as well, you know, like you've learned that hard work pays off.
Absolutely.
And in the dojo and outside the dojo. And, you know, a lot of that teaching from the dojo goes into our outside life.
Yeah. Thanks, Taishan. So that's the thing that you can do is translate what happens in the dojo, and it impacts all these other parts of your life because, you know, you can try a little bit harder, or you just know you can push a little bit more. Your own self and your own mental abilities can just be pushed just a little further. And I think that that's part of learning and part of the joy, I think, in the training is that you just get to push those boundaries of your own abilities time and time again. And that's so rewarding.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a big, you know, karate is not just all about the kick and punch. You know, well, there's a famous quote, you know, karate is not about the kick and punch, but it is all about the kick and punch. But what we practice in the dojo is there are kicking, punching, kata, sparring, etc., combinations. All of that stuff is quite often challenging us on a certain level.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of Sato Karate is that you've got certain levels. You start at a very beginner level and you move up to a blue belt, to yellow belt, to green belt, to brown belt, to black belt. And all those various grades have different syllabus that becomes more challenging. which challenged a certain grade group. And that just makes you build, have more confidence within yourself, and you become stronger.
Nice.
And that just translates to everything from there on, I feel.
So you talk about these different grades and different levels that we reach. And so probably a really good time to start just clarifying what some of these titles are. So when I first introduced you, Sei Xian Aaron, that was Sei Xian Aaron. Your father was Eiko Hanshi. And then obviously through karate, we have different honorifics or titles like senpai and sensei, junshihan, kyush. Would you mind just sort of explaining a little bit more about this? And maybe also the terms like us that we use quite often. Probably listeners have already heard me say that a few times. Because all of this forms part of what happens in this on-air dojo. Just reflecting what happens in the actual dojo with all these names and the way that we greet and acknowledge information that is passed on.
Yeah, us. I suppose we should start with the word us. Derives from the word oshinibu, which means to push, and shinibu means to endure. So it's about patience, really. Us, as you say, us. And also it's a word of respect to your seniors, to fellow karateka.
Yes.
And very importantly, too, when we're saying us in a dojo setting, when we're training, it's for two things, really. It is to acknowledge that you are present, that your teacher knows that you're present and paying attention.
Yes.
The respect, you're acknowledging your senior, that they're asking you to do something, so you're acknowledging them. But also it's a good way of saying us and releasing yourself into the us is a good way of clearing your mind. To bring yourself back into the moment of here we are in the dojo doing karate, rather than thinking about what's for dinner or what happened at work. Us brings you back.
Us. And then you've also got the kiai as well. So, and that's something that I really enjoy is the ability just to bring your voice as well along to the movements that you make, and it adds something extra.
That's right. Kiai means to shout. So if we're doing a technique like a punch or a kick or a series of movements, we might end it in a kiai or a shout. And that is really, that is for our focus. The focus of the technique adds a bit more strength to what we're doing. But also kiai, like you say, it can be a form of release as well. And you know, kiais can be quite intimidating for people from a self-defense situation, a big shout. Certainly using your voice in the correct way or a kiai can be a very effective form of a deterrent.
So, and we were talking just before about the titles and, for example, your own title, Sei Xian. What does that mean?
Well, to say Xian really, Xian means master. So it's just more of a next step up from the master, sort of like a senior master.
And so in terms of, because there's the black belt, right? And that's the senpai.
Yeah.
But you've got grades that you can go on past that that you get. In fact, I think there's a grading coming up next week for a senpai going up to Nidan, which is the second black belt, and then there's also Sandan, and beyond that, the names that reflect the different belts.
Yeah, so we've got Shodan, obviously as beginner grade or the first black belt, Nidan, Sandan, and fourth dan was when you class as a sensei or a teacher.
Yes.
And then the fifth dan will be classed as Kyoshi, which is a teacher's teacher.
Right.
And then we go on to Junshan, Sei Xian, Shuseki Shihan, which is a master of masters or teacher of masters.
Right.
And Eiko Hanshi, or Eiko, there's a title of my father, and Eiko Hanshi Renzi in Christchurch, which means everlasting light.
Us.
Which is very appropriate for those two gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it reflects the way they have allowed Sado to grow, you know, throughout New Zealand, and you know, the legacy that is currently being built upon is going from strength to strength.
Of course, yeah, and I think for me over this sort of period since Dad passed, the taking over or running of Nelson Shibu, certainly get a lot of more respect of, you know, that 50 years of what that took. What that involved, certainly when you're running a dojo, for those that do will understand it's more than just getting in there and teaching karate to a student.
Us.
There's a lot of other stuff that in the background that you're involved with. And you're emotionally involved with your student.
Yes.
You know, you want your students to be the best they can.
Mm.
So you, in some way, you're invested in them. So that's huge. That's really huge to be able to do that over a length of time and be able to do that sincerely as Aiko, Renzi and Dad did is an incredible feat. Really is.
Yeah. And again, it's something that is inspiring. I remember just last weekend coming out of a training session, catching up with one of my Q grades, they're called. Anyone less than black belt is a Q grade level.
Mm.
And he hadn't been there for a while. And he said, it was great to be back. And you sort of, you come out from the class elevated, you know, you come back thinking, why don't I go more often? Why don't I just experience that a bit more?
Yeah, well, so I think, and that's often as, you know, we've all been there, you know, quite often the days when you're reluctant to get off the couch in front of that warm fire and come to the dojo and you train are the most rewarding because you feel like, oh, it's a struggle to get there. But once I've been there and had a good kiai and really enjoyed my karate, they're the most beneficial I've always found for my personal training. Yeah, sometimes it's a struggle for all of us just to get off the couch and do something different than, you know, what we normally would. But I think that's also our challenge.
Absolutely. Now speaking of challenges, you when you became Seishihan, you travelled overseas to for your grading.
Mm.
Would you mind sharing a little bit about that and that experience? Because I think then you also met Kaicho.
Well, yeah, I've been to New York a few times in the past. I first went with my father when I was maybe 16, 17, I can't remember, with him. Amazing experience.
Nice.
And went over as a Shodan and graded for Nidan in New York under Kaicho and all the other seniors who were there, Shuseki William Oliver and Aiko Hunter Charles and et cetera. So that was an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I suppose, a little bit of background on my time in New York. As an 18-year-old, I got an opportunity to go and teach at a YMCA in New York.
Yes.
So it was through a summer camp program, YMCA summer camp program. So I taught karate at a YMCA. It was just two blocks down from the old Hombu and 23rd Street. And taught karate from 9 o'clock in the morning to, I think, 11:30 in the morning every day.
Gosh.
And then was probably 20, 25 kids. And then in the afternoons we'd do activities that would take them to the park or museums, et cetera, et cetera. So I had spent a lot of time. I went back for 2 years.
Nice.
The second year I went back, I stayed there for over 6 or 7 months and lived and trained every day. So wow. The tradition was that Dad set when we went to New York.
Nice.
Every class that Kaicho taught, we were there.
Mm.
And that's how we all did. Any Nelson student, and I'm sure New Zealand students, that's what they all did when they went to New York. So yeah, I had a bit of time in New York and I treasured that experience.
Nice.
So, and also while I was there, I got to train with, legend of our Seda karate style, Shuseki William Oliver, which was for me as an 18, 19 year old, when you're feeling, pretty good about yourself at that age, quite humbling to be fair. You know, often training with Kaicho's, and then would go. I'd catch the subway up to Shuseki Oliver's and train with him up there, sparring and things like that. And those experiences were so valuable. They were one of my highlights of my karate training.
Wow.
So, but so going back to New York to do my Seishihan promotion was. I hadn't been for a while. Last time I was here was with my father at Goin in 2016, I met my wife. And so he was quite sick then, Dad. And the story behind that is that he wasn't really wasn't really, wouldn't say meant to go. We shouldn't go because he was very ill. But he made a commitment to Kaicho that he was going to go. And anyone that knew my father and who obviously trained under him, once he said he was going to do something, was no one was going to stop him.
No.
So I went along and so we had, that was my last time there. So coming back to last year when we went to New York with my sister Natasha and my wife Paola and Paola's daughter Mia and took my promotion, it was quite an emotional time really. First time I'd seen Kaicho since Dad passed. First time I'd been in the new dojo, new Hombu. First time that I'd really trained under a Nadame.
Yes.
So wonderful experience to see Kaicho again and have that connection he and my father had.
Yeah.
And then and rebuild and build the connections with Nadami and I. So that whole experience was really, really important for me.
Absolute. Yeah. I can imagine that in some cases it was sort of a bit of a homecoming again, sort of because you had such a strong connection with New York and Kaicho and Nadami, who was Kaicho's son.
Os, yeah.
Os.
Yeah.
And to spend that time there in that space where your father had been so much as well.
Yes, well, that's right. Dad often, you know, every 2 years, Dad went to New York usually, and sometimes he'd go for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. So, you know, long time. And he went there because he wanted to train under his teacher.
Yes.
And Dad was very karateka through and through.
Yes.
You know, that was his life.
Yeah.
You know, since he was a teenager, he was immersed in the martial arts.
Yes.
So when he met Kaicho in Japan, when he went there first time, and he's seen all these tough men and very skilled men, but then he met Kaicho. Dad talks about meeting Kaicho, and Kaicho's skills was amazing, but also a very humble, very compassionate man.
Awesome.
That Dad didn't see much of that being the gaijin when he was in Japan.
So because, of course, Sado actually, you talk about sort of the hard and the soft, and you know, karate is sort of, you know, quite hard and punching and kicking. But with Sado, there's also a softer side, like where there's a Zen influence. That's quite a strong foundation as well to Sado.
Yes. Yeah, I think karate meaning empty hand, you know, and I think we can take that meaning of karate, you know, back to its original conception of, you know, empty hand, no weapons involved.
Nice.
So you learn techniques, offense and defense techniques to, you know, to defend yourself. So, but also I think the broader term of karate means, you know, you can open your hand or close your fist. So open hand, close fist. So the open hand is you can give, you can be compassionate, you can receive.
Nice.
But if you close your hand, as we do in karate, then you can defend yourself and stand up for yourself and your family and et cetera. So that's the real meaning, I feel, of karate.
Yes, yeah. And that is that carries so much power because, of course, to me, when I think about that, I think about, yeah, the potential is with the open hand and the closed hand, that's an action. So so you actually have both. But the strength lies in having the option to be an empty vessel or to look at the options out there, but to have the opportunity to act if needed.
Yes, exactly. And I think that was one of the key Kaicho developing Seda Karate was to get back to the original values of Karate Do.
So this year, not only is Seda Karate celebrating 50 years, but there also happens to be an international tournament right on our doorstep here in Nelson. Tell us, how did we get to have an international Sado karate tournament here in Nelson?
Well, we, you know, combined with our 50th anniversary, of course. So we you know, we, my wife and I were thinking, well, we're going to have to do something, you know, to celebrate our 50 years of karate in Nelson. And then we both came up with this idea, well, why don't we just have a tournament? And and then it's sort of grown from there, really. Mm. It's a major thing to be able to organise. Luckily that we've got a fantastic team behind us.
Nice.
To be able to get things in order. But one of the key things with if we're celebrating Dad and 50 years of karate in Nelson is that Dad was always want to celebrate karate with karate.
Nice.
So, you know, you can go and socialise, but first of all, we do karate. That's what we do.
Nice.
So we're going to celebrate karate with some amazing talent, you know, and the best of the best. We'll be here competing. And then also you'll have people that are doing tournament for the first time, which is fantastic too. You know, they're getting up there, challenging themselves, putting them in an unfamiliar environment, facing new people. And from my experience, tournaments are just very much a growing experience.
Yeah. And it's not just a Top of the South tournament. It's not just a New Zealand tournament.
No. No, well, that's right. We have so far we've got lots of registrations from Australia.
Fantastic.
We've got a few people coming from Poland.
Wow.
We're hoping to get an ex-Nelson student who now runs London Shibu. Hopefully, he's going to be bringing a team.
Nice.
And we've got some registrations in from Hombu, New York.
Wow.
So we, you know, it's truly going to be an international tournament. Mm. And with international titles on the line.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty exciting.
That is. Yeah. And that's 26th and 27th of October.
Yes.
So not that far away. Plenty of work to be done,
yes,
I think, in getting that ready.
Yes, there is. Yes.
But as you say, it sounds like there is a very good team to help bring it all together.
Certainly is. And we are really looking forward to putting on a big showcase for the Nelson community. And the spectators will be welcome.
Absolutely.
And we hope to, you know, demonstrate Seda Karate in its beautiful form. Yeah.
So there'll be, and we'll have Nidame, so that's Kaicho's son, coming along as well.
Yes, that's right. A major coup. Nadami's second in charge of World Seda Karate Organization under his father, Kaicho, of course. So, yes, that was another a discussion my wife and I had. We thought, well, wouldn't it be fantastic to invite Nadami? So I reached out, and it just worked so perfectly that he was able to come. He's coming to New Zealand first to our tournament, and then he's off to Japan after that. So it was a nice sort of round trip for him to be able to do. So the timing was perfect.
Yes.
And he's really supportive of wanting to support our 50th anniversary and celebration of my father and his legacy. And,
yes, yeah.
And also fantastic for New Zealand Sado.
Absolutely.
To spend time with Nadami, see Nadami. He's going to be teaching a special seminar on the Sunday. So for all students, so everyone, really nice for everyone to be able to connect with him.
Absolutely. No, I've registered. I'm doing the class. That's one thing I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah.
In addition to the, I've registered for the Kata.
Awesome.
Tournament. So, and again, it is an opportunity just to push those bounds and experience a bit more of being challenged and overcoming any kind of protests that the mind might have,
yes,
in stopping you from going just that little bit further. So I think what I would like to say is thank you, Seishan Aaron, for your time. That has been wonderful to hear so much more about the origins of Seido Karate here in New Zealand, a bit more about the legend that is your dad, and what Eika Hanchi has sort of put in place, and what you are carrying onwards, which is inspirational. So what I would like to just say thank you very much, Seishan, and very best wishes for the Top of the South tournament, and I'll see you again at class.
Awesome, Eric. Thank you very much. What a pleasure. And I'm sure we could have kept on talking for another hour or more. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we hope that you've gained some insight into that wonderful practice of Seda Karate.
Thank you very much, Sei Xiang.
Awesome.
If you're interested in finding out more about Seda Karate, then you can check us out on Facebook. With dojos throughout the region, there's bound to be one near you. See you next time at the Seda Karate On Air Dojo. Us.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.